how do you prepare for team teaching or team preaching?
Well, it's going to sound like old hat, but I do it the very same way I prepare for a sermon.
Okay.
I say we got to decide what our subject's going to be. And then we have to decide what the response is, and then the how to, and the how long. And once we got that down, then we have to say, okay, how are we going to start this? You're going to start it, I'm going to start it. And I found, this is kind of a secular way to look at it, I found that if you're both equals and you're talking, it's not as comfortable to the audience, and it's not as comfortable to you as when you decide one person is going to be the one who calls the ball game and one's going to be the color commentator.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Right, absolutely.
And then you both know your roles, and I could do it with my wife, Karen, where she could be the one who's she's the ball game caller and I'm the color commentator, or most of the time I do it the other way. And the reason I did it the other way is only because I think people were more comfortable with it when I took that role. And so I would say, okay, I'm going to be the one to start it. They're going to know that I'm the one who's the glue in terms of this. But you're kind of the one who has the personality, in a sense, and you can insert the thoughts that you have. We decide where we are now. You know what role you play. I know what role I play. Is it something that we talk about a lot? No, but basically we understand, and you're not going to cross over to my role. You're not going to say, ask me a question, I want to talk for a long time. That's not going to happen. But we have a dialogue, and it's not just a dialogue. There's a sense in which there's a team teaching as well. But we know our roles. So in my mind, in the team teaching, it's important to decide what are those roles and who is going to play them. And then you stay with that the whole of the time.
And basically, you're developing the content the same way you would be developing the content for an individual sermon that you might preach as a pastor.
Yeah, but it does bust up the routine.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, that was interesting. And they come and they have a whole different anticipation as to what's going on. You could do it with a father-son, or you could do it in a lot of different ways. But it's a team approach.
Are there other options that might be available to a pastor?
Let me answer that, and I'm going to kind of come at it. And I haven't missed what you said, but I want to give some background. I think in today's American society, there are two huge ways of learning. And I wouldn't say that lecture is one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying lecture and relating that to preaching. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think the biggest way that people learn in today's American society and form their values is through storytelling. That is still massive. In fact, if you look at from the time I was young, there's been a revolution sexually. I know Hugh Hefner and all the rest of them had a part, but basically that change came about through storytelling. And a lot of storytelling that was false. They had stories in whether it was radio, television, movies, or whatever, where a man after a while he got tired of old what's-her-name, and so he left old what's-her-name and went with a new younger woman, and everything turned out fine. In fact, it was set up so that you kind of wanted him to get rid of old what's-her-name.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is, that doesn't work that way in real life. They're not happy ever after.
Right.
Most of the time, the question is, you kind of dropped old what's-her-name from the story, but pastors pick up those people, and they have to say, okay, what did that do to that person?
Right.
What happened in the new relationship? And the truth is, it is a big lie that is told most of the time, because all of the infidelity and whatever that goes on because people supposedly are attracted to each other, that leads to great pain.
Right.
Now, the opposite thing is that the church had wonderful stories to tell about fidelity. These people, they went through some hard times, but they stayed together. They have been married for 50 years, whatever, and so on. We didn't tell the stories. We still don't tell the stories.
Right.
It is a crying shame, because they're wonderful stories, and they are true stories of people who have worked through very hard times, but it served them well. They have lived the Christian lifestyle, and it's not only been good for them, it's been good for the world.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't tell the stories.
Right.
We just don't. We don't have those testimonies in church. Because we rely on a form of communication that isn't as powerful as it once was, which is lecture. Okay, there is another second huge way in my mind that people learn in today's society. I don't know if you're anticipating what I'm going to say, but I would say it's interview.
Mm-hmm.
People are learning all the time when Jay Leno talks with somebody, or David Letterman, or Oprah talks with somebody. Do you want to know what is right about the homosexual lifestyle? I'm not making commentary as to good or bad. I'm just saying you can do several things. You can do a lecture on it, but that's not going to be nearly as effective as if, say, Oprah interviews someone and treats them as a peer, doesn't talk necessarily, just shows they are normal human beings, you know. And that has power. It has real power. And whether what she's doing in terms of her thoughts is right or wrong, it is a way of communicating, okay? So interview is massive, and yet we never do interview in the church either. Interview is an easy way to tell stories, and a lot of time all they do with the interview is just tell me what kind of a person you are. Now, again, those interviews are phony as can be a lot of times because they interview a young starlet and it looks like everything is wonderful in life, and the truth is if you could follow them around, they live pretty crummy lives. But they tell the in the interview, they ask the questions and laugh and everything to make it look like it's wonderful. So everybody, I want the kind of life that that person lives, you know, whether it's Britney Spears or whoever it is. You know, we could do interview.
Sure.
We could do that very easily. And it could be an alternative form of communication that doesn't have to be lecture every time. And I'm using lecture because if I say preaching, there's something sacrosanct about that, that people say, you know, don't touch preaching. Well, it's lecture. That's what it is. And it's also lecture about the things of God, but there are ways to communicate other than that. So I would like to take a whole session next time and talk about interviewing, because I think it is a very powerful way to be able to communicate God's truth. But I would say another, those are the two big ones. I would say another way that can communicate God's truth and open the church a little, because a lot of times the outsider thinks the church is a closed system. Mm-hmm. You can't get at it at all. Another way in my mind, and it wouldn't have to be Sunday morning, it could be another service, but it could be Sunday morning, and some of the new churches are using it a great deal as question and answer. Now, question and answer is kind of an odd way because you can't control it as much. That's what most people think. You know, what if somebody asks me a question I'm not prepared to answer? But you can have question and answer. You know, you say, I'm going to try to handle the toughest questions that you would like to ask your pastor, and instead of a sermon 2 months from now, I'm asking you, tell me what those questions are, and I will be able to prepare ahead of time. It'll be kind of an odd arrangement, but I'm going to try to take at least 4 or 5 of the questions that come consistently and say, I will do my very best to give you adequate answers for them. Would you prefer that I didn't do that? How many? You know, if you ask for hands, people are going to be open to that.
Sure. Sure they are.
So it is an option, but somehow it's like people's minds in the pastorate have closed because I'm paid to be a preacher. Mm-hmm. I'm paid to lecture. So I'm just saying that there all are alternative ways. So because people tire the same voice Sunday after Sunday, same method, think seriously about alternatives to your preaching style. And is it busting things up a little? Is it harder sometimes? Yeah, it is. But, you know, welcome to the new world.
Well, I'm glad we're going to talk about interviewing in the next podcast, because interviewing is something that in a previous church that I attended was used a lot, particularly when missionaries would visit. One particular pastor would always want to conduct an interview, bring the missionary up and ask the missionary questions. One time, an assistant pastor was substituting for the pastor and called the missionary up, and the entire time spent the time telling a story about his experience when he visited a mission station somewhere, and totally forgot that the purpose of the interview was to talk to the missionary. And once he realized he had overstayed his time, he thanked the missionary for his service to Christ, and they sat down, and we didn't know a thing about the missionary. So interviewing is an important subject.
Pastors are better at talking than they are at listening sometimes. That's what they're paid to do, is talk. But yeah, that's a terrible story.
Well, poor
missionaries.
Well, we invite you to come back next time to the podcast and hear some good stories and good suggestions regarding interviewing. You're listening to the Sermon Coach podcast, sermoncoach.com, sermon-coach.com. Resources for pastors to help pastors develop effective, life-transforming sermons. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Dr. David Maines, and we'll look forward to talking to you in our next podcast.